On your radio dial at 100.3 FM and worldwide at TeamMyrtleBeach.com and the 100.3 The Team app. Welcome back to The Drive with Aaron Marks.
That's Pat's jam right there. Over there. Singing, rapping with it, talking with it, whatever they're doing. Welcome back. Good Thursday morning to you.
It's Sports rap, Radio. Aaron. It's rap.
Is it rap? Okay. Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. We are 19 minutes past the hour. Nice morning. Going to be a hot day. Probably going to have a crazy passing thunderstorm or two coming around you. So be wary of that. We have got quite a bit to get into today. Lots of college football. We're going to talk Heisman contenders as we go into the season. We're going to talk more on Big 12 expansion as some of the coaches have reacted to that. We'll tell you what they've had to say about it. And got some Olympics talk. Bold predictions for your NFL team. Give me a bold prediction for your NFL team. We'll take you through some bold predictions courtesy of the guys at NFL.com in just a bit. Pat just notified me, though. I love the days of the year. We're always celebrating something, right? There's always something to be celebrated. Apparently today, now this doesn't seem appropriate at all. This should be like on Super Bowl Sunday. Or like when, like 4th of July could be considered this day, but of all days, what is today? July 21st is National Junk Food Day.
This is all depending on how you live your life. So every day could be National Junk Food Day.
Yeah.
And not necessarily just a.
That's a problem. Yes. If it is. So maybe reevaluate some things if so, but.
Are you talking to me?
If you, yes. If you don't eat junk food often, I guess today you can. Is that the deal?
Yeah, I think it's legal today. I think it's
legal.
You know, if you have a spouse who's always...
It's legal every day, and they're
well,
like
yeah.
The problem with our country.
Well, you know, people have their spouse or their friend that looks over their shoulder, be like, oh, you shouldn't be eating that right now, or that's not a good thing to eat. Well, now you can say, well, hey, it's National Junk Food Day,
yeah,
so
I'm
eating what I want.
I'm honoring the
yes.
day. So what qualifies as junk food? Like something you find in a vending machine? Is that pretty much a qualifier? Or?
I think everything that's just bad for you could be the McDonald's
pizza,
Big Mac.
Is pizza junk food?
Again, this goes with your definition of junk food.
Like, I mean, I eat pretty healthy.
Yes.
And the other day for lunch, I did get some Cheetos. That was pretty solid. No nutritional value whatsoever
Cheetos.
In Cheetos. Like cheesy styrofoam puffs that just
wait.
There's
a distinction here. Do you go with the
no,
really
not
thin
the
Cheetos?
No, the thin ones.
Oh.
The ones with the cheetah.
See, we're,
is he a cheetah? Is that what he is?
He is.
Yeah, that guy.
We're indifferent.
I don't do the different shapes.
Nope.
I don't do the different colors. The original, not spicy. Screw spicy Cheetos. Those are disgusting. Spicy Fritos? Also awful.
I'm a puff person, personally. If I'm going to go Cheetos, I'm going to go with the big puff ones.
Really?
The big doodles, yeah.
They get like...
Oh, I know.
Stuck in your teeth and stuff
I love
like
smiling
that.
At people.
I mean, it's terrible for your health and for your trip to the dentist.
No joke. I'll tell you my biggest issue with junk food. I'm a candy fiend, and so...
I really don't eat much candy. Diane, our traffic director... Which has nothing to do with like traffic like
no.
you think of. It's like actually scheduling like commercials and things like that. So she oversees that every day. She keeps a box of little mini candy bars.
Oh,
I
see.
So I will, you know, from time to time partake in that. But all right, so go ahead. What's your favorite candy?
Oh, it's got to be Sour Patch Kids or Sweet Tarts. Those are the top two for me.
You don't go like chocolate bars?
No.
You're not a chocolate bar fan?
I mean, I like chocolate, but no. Sour Patch Kids or Sweet Tarts.
Snickers for me. Snickers.
I understand that.
Like,
Snickers has some nutritional value.
And it does. Snickers is actually really good if you're like really hungry and you're going to work out. Snickers is actually great to eat before you do that.
See, I'm like National Junk Food, the thing that has like zero value for you.
Oh, okay.
That's what
yeah,
I'm going
Sour
for.
Sour Patch Kids. No, there's nothing. I don't even know what they make that from. In fact, you should probably double check, you know, what you're doing to yourself by putting that into your body.
I'm living my life.
Being an American. All right, what were we supposed to talk about here? The Big 12? That's probably a better discussion than the Big 12. You guys might already be sick of the Big 12. But let's just talk real quick. The coaches have been reacting to this whole thing as they went through the ESPN car wash yesterday. And first off, the coaches were asked to vote. So 10 coaches, 20 votes. They were each asked to pick two teams that they would like to see as part of expansion. And really, there were four pretty clear-cut teams. BYU and Houston led the way with 5 votes each, and then with 4 votes each were Cincinnati and Memphis. That's pretty much where the conversation's been going. The one big difference, though, is that while the coaches would think that Houston's very convenient, Texas probably didn't vote for Houston, and West Virginia wouldn't have voted for Houston. West Virginia was probably, you know, 1 vote Cincinnati, 1 vote Memphis. They're trying to load up the eastern side of the Big 12 conference to make their travel a little bit more reasonable, because it's just crazy what West Virginia has been dealing with. And, I mean, they knew what they were getting into. What did they think was going to happen? You know, the country was going to get smaller. They were instantly going to be, like, closer to Kansas, you know? And so they would like to see this conference expansion utilized to assist them. And I certainly think it's going to. I think it's going to. And that'll be a big factor in whether they go for 2 or 4 teams. Couple of reactions from the coaches and what they had to say. TCU coach Gary Patterson says, "We're doing all of this so we give ourselves a chance to get in the playoffs. So whatever we do, it's okay as long as that's what the goal is. It's the only criteria I think that works." Now, it's going to be really funny to hear what these different coaches have to say in what their angle is in expansion. What is it that this coach wants to achieve with expansion? Well, TCU has been left out of the postseason the way things have shaken out because of no conference championship game. So obviously, in Gary Patterson's eyes, the only reason to expand and why this must happen is to create a conference championship game that his team can go win that will allow them to cement themselves a spot into the college football playoff. Bob Stoops says, well, I tell you what, we've got some of that audio for you. Here he is talking about the decision to expand the Big 12.
You know, I feel really confident in our leadership, our presidents, athletic directors, our commissioner, Bob Bowlesby, and what's the right thing to do for our league, for our conference, and best thing for our schools. So whatever way they want to, you know, work it, I'm going to be all for it. We've won the national championship, been in the BCS formula when we had 12 teams. Mm-hmm. We were in the Final Four a year ago with 10 teams. So whatever direction they want to go, I'm all for it.
TCU's like, we need a championship so that we can get in. Oklahoma's like, you know, as long as we're decent, we get in. We're fine either way. They like us. So Bob Stoops also had some comments about adding a Big 12 championship game next season.
I think 2 major factors. One, from the playoff committee, a 13th data point is a strong reason, and roughly $30 million in revenue for the league. So when you're talking $3 million per institution, that turns your head, and those are, you know, legitimate reasons to have a title game.
Some other reaction from coaches. I guess they asked a couple of coaches about accepting football only members. Why would they do that? I hate that. I think that is one of the worst things that these conferences do. Now, I understand where you might have a conference that involves teams that don't have a football program. And so your basketball makeup might be very different from your football makeup. But we also have seen conferences form that are basically basketball-only conferences at a Division I level. I mean, the Big East is basically, it's a basketball first, it's a basketball conference. Those schools have football teams, but many of them are FCS, and they compete in different conferences and whatnot. And so I see the situation there where you would accept a football-only member where you would need that sort of thing. But I'm never a fan of that, and I don't think any Power 5 conference should ever entertain the idea of a football-only member. It's full membership or nothing, with obviously the one exception being Notre Dame, because Notre Dame's been independent for so long, and the ACC is just inching closer and closer and closer to locking Notre Dame as a full-time member. They got a little bit closer with this last grant of rights agreement that we talked about earlier this week, where Notre Dame's, you know, TV revenues, or a portion of them, that at least in conference games, you know, are locked into the ACC through 2035, and if Notre Dame were to elect to join a conference, it's basically required that that conference would be the ACC at this point, given that all other sports outside of football are full-fledged members of the ACC. So West Virginia's Dana Holgorsen was asked about the possibility of accepting a football-only newcomer. He said, "I don't think that's good for the Big 12 from a fan base perspective. If they're just competing in one sport, I don't think fans appreciate that. all sports to me are important. And I like what he had to say. Texas Tech's Cliff Kingsbury says, football is all I ever think about. I think that would be great. Thank you, Cliff. Appreciate those deep thoughts out of Lubbock, Texas. That's solid right there. Kansas's David Beatty on the importance of the selection process. He said, this is all according to Mitch Sherman at ESPN.com, if you take the wrong teams, it could be disastrous. So I think you have to be very careful to make sure they fit. And that's why I'm so glad we have the leadership that we have. Nobody understands it better and puts time into studying it than Bowlesby. Looking at a couple of other, Bill Snyder, who's going to coach till he's 100, he says on finding a fit, you need somebody that has market value, but I would like to see us not get spread out all over the country. I would like to see it germane to the middle of the country where the Big Eight conference began. So obviously he voted for Houston and BYU. He's wanting to keep it in that general part of the country and doesn't want to see them get spread out. Unfortunately, a big part of this is going to get them spread out because West Virginia is going to make sure that sort of thing happens. All right, so there's the latest that's happening, some of the reaction from the coaches. We had the folks at CBSSports.com went through and ranked the candidates as far as who has the best chance of getting into this thing. And apparently, Pat, Tulane wants to get into this thing. Tulane thinks they're a contender.
They have thrown their hat in the ring, so to say, Aaron. But the funny thing is the article I read was saying the only reason that they would add Tulane, well, actually, there's two reasons. Academic reasons, it's one of the top schools in the nation. But for some reason, their helmet with the traditional green wave tee for Tulane, that's something that is attractive, and that's what they're selling the Big 12 on, is look at our
they
helmet.
They have a tee.
That has a wave as the top of the tee. Yeah. Like, there's not much to...
I don't get it.
I don't either. I think that's the biggest question. It does bring in a new market of Louisiana and also New Orleans, and so that is attractive to a Big 12 conference, but... Really, in the sports aspect of it, really, what does Tulane bring in other than a team that possibly could play baseball with them? I mean, that's the only sport that they would be, you know, somewhat close to the rest of the Big 12 teams.
So looking at CBS Sports' ranking of this, they have BYU at number one, but they say the Cougars make the most sense, but as a football-only member of the available candidates, BYU most closely resembles a Power 5 program. It has won a national championship. That's what the Cougars aspire to. That's what the Cougars can do in the right setting. BYU has a loyal national following that one source described as faith and eyeballs. But the cons, the Mormon faith teaches that Sunday is a Sabbath day to be filled with spiritual contemplation. That's why football-only membership makes sense. I'm trying to think. I mean, it used to be the case where BYU would not compete on Sundays. I don't know if that's still the case. I mean, we'll have to go back and look. Like, maybe look at their basketball schedule for me, Pat, last year, and see if they played any tournament games on a Sunday. Now, the thing is, Baylor, ironically enough, is also a school, a faith-based school. So, I mean, you're already doing some things to accommodate them. I don't see how that would be any different. You got something
this
for
me? This is on BYU.com, BYUCougars.com.
Okay.
The title is Never on Sunday.
Really? So they still do that?
I mean, they go through a list of reasons why BYU has been left out of postseason tournaments. It says because of Sunday play, the 1958 BYU baseball team was rejected a berth to play in the College World Series, even though they were the first squad in school history to secure a spot in the national championship play. BYU basketball had won the 1951 NIT tournament, but therein lies the key word. You have to be invited. They didn't have berths because of the Sunday games. I mean, there's plenty of reasons why they have been turned down for NCAA tournaments because they don't have Sunday play. So, yes, this is still going on where they don't actually have athletics on Sunday.
Wow. How would they – because, I mean, this is a program that's competed in a lot of postseason events. I mean, the thing about like NITs and stuff like that is you can accommodate. It doesn't necessarily have to be on a certain day, but
working with the body, whoever is running the tournament.
They were part of the WAC. They were part of the Mountain West. that shouldn't keep them from being a part of the Big 12, but it is interesting, the point made there. All right, so BYU's the front runner according to CBSSports.com, but perhaps as a football-only member, that maybe that's why they were asking folks like Dana Holgorsen and Cliff Kingsbury that question. Some other teams ranked up there. This is interesting. According to CBSSports.com, the number two team is UConn. Not a single coach voted for UConn in expansion. Says one high-ranking source believes UConn can deliver the highly populated northeastern quarter even if the football is lacking. UConn has an alumni base in New York and Boston. Think of the Big Ten settling for Rutgers a few years ago. The State University of New Jersey wasn't a first choice, but it is 35 miles from New York City.
UConn is so far away from even West
even
Virginia.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
No, that's crazy. Number three is Houston. Who wrote this? I'm not a huge fan of this. Was written by Dennis Dodd. I got all the respect in the world for Dennis Dodd, but these rankings are kind of bogus. He's got Cincinnati at 4, UCF at 5, and Memphis at 6.
I would think all Cincinnati and Memphis were higher than that.
My ranking is going to be BYU 1, Cincinnati 2, Memphis 3. Does he even have UCF? He does have UCF in there. UConn isn't even in my top six. Houston is well ahead of UConn, in my opinion. So that's what Dennis Dodd has to say. All right, let's take a quick timeout. We got some junk food comments coming in.
Yeah, real quick. Yeah. RK, he writes in, because I did put a poll out, what's your favorite junk food on National Junk Food Day?
Good.
RK writes in, Hooters chicken wings and a large basket of fries. That's his favorite.
I mean, that just sounds like a regular meal. Is that... All right, keep them coming in. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at the Heisman discussion. Going into the year, who is the front runner right now? And you know what? That's actually a really interesting question, because I can think of three or four names that we could put as the front runner for the Heisman right now. So we'll have some fun with that discussion coming up next. But first, I want to remind you, you're listening to The Drive, and we're presented by Tire Town, your Michelin and BF Goodrich dealer. And with Tire Town, you're going to get access to the largest selection of Michelin and BF Goodrich tires. That's important to you, because regardless of the make and model of your vehicle, you know that they can get you taken care of with same-day service. Also, Tire Town will take care of all of your habit of stopping into any one of Tire Town's 5 Grand Strand locations. Check locations, store hours, and schedule your next appointment. You can do it all online by visiting TireTownSC.com. All right, we'll take a quick time out, and we'll come back and look at the Heisman candidates as we get you ready for the college football season starting 1 month away, coming up next.